You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I am your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, back again with another great guest here for your listening pleasure. Today, my friend Owen Reese from Acme Packing Company will join the show, and he'll help us break down sort of the offseason so far for the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about the additions of Jimmy Graham and Mo Wilkerson. Of course, we got to touch on the Kyle Fuller situation, and we'll also look at some of the big holes still kind of sitting here on the Green Bay Packers as they start to look forward to the NFL draft. Well, it's been a lot of sunshine and rainbows in Chicago with free agency and all the big moves Ryan Pace has made. You know, life up north, even with Aaron Rodgers, has been a little bit unsettling for a lot of Packers fans so far this offseason. I think there's some question marks in the land of cheese about their new GM, Brian Gutekunst, and so our guest today is going to help us take stock of where Green Bay stands moving forward. Joining me now on the Locked On Bears podcast is my friend Owen Reese. He writes for Inside the Pylon, covers the Green Bay Packers for Acme Packing Company, and he also covers the Wisconsin Badgers for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. He is a card-carrying member of Handsome Twitter, and you can follow him on Twitter at ReeseDraft, that's R-I-E-S-E Draft. Owen, thanks for joining me on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. Getting to draft season and enjoying the chaos that is everyone freaking out about the Packers, so it's all good stuff.
Well, it's just in a day's work covering Green Bay in the offseason, but it's a little bit different this year because, you know, everyone knows I live in Wisconsin, and I get to hear a lot about what Packers fans feel about their free agency moves. Typically with Ted Thompson, they don't spend big money on outside guys. I mean, they surprised some people with Julius Peppers a couple years ago, and you know, here and there they sprinkled it in. But now that Brian Gutekunst is the GM, they were a little bit more active, although it hasn't necessarily been super bountiful. But just generally speaking, from, you know, early press conference and the early free agency moves, what have your impressions been so far of the job Brian Gutekunst is doing?
I don't know. I think he's doing pretty well. He came out and was very pretty adamant that he was going to be more aggressive and quote-unquote explore every avenue as far as acquiring talent for the team, and I think you got a chance to see that. They aggressively, quote-unquote, again, were at least mentioned in the conversations for guys like Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins, some other big names. So while those two didn't land, and they did get, I guess, two like second tier guys and Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson. So they've been doing that. And then you also got to see the exploring every avenue type thing with them trying to claim Kyle Fuller off the transition tag. So I know a lot of fans are very, I guess, for lack of a better term, skittish or very pessimistic as far as what the very early returns are from free agency. They went out and got the two starters that I mentioned. A lot of concerns surrounding the secondary, and for the common fan, they see a lot of names that they are familiar with and that they're aware of going off the board, and they are panicking that Brian Gutekunst hasn't signed anybody yet. They've actually traded away their best corner and released their best safety. So I think there's probably some reason for panic. I think a lot of fans are very skeptical at this point, just due to this is new. So Ted Thompson was there for quite a while, and his trends and his proclivities were kind of pretty well known. So with Brian Gutekunst, this is a fresh slate. People don't know what he's going to do, and people are afraid of things they don't know and they don't understand. So I think that's something that Packer fans are going to kind of have to bear with a little bit, that they're going to have to wait and see what Gutekunst has in store for the big picture. I think I'm not nearly as quick to jump in panic, although you would be ignorant to say that there shouldn't be some concern for the secondary with the lack of, for lack of a better term, NFL caliber talent on the roster right now. But we're, what, 5 weeks away from the draft and 5 months away from the preseason. So I think to overreact any more than what a lot of Twitter is doing is pretty foolish. But long way around this question, I'm fine with it. He's went out and got and at least been in the conversation for talent that Ted Thompson would not have. And that type of assertive behavior isn't quite typical for the Packers. So I'm for some of these new developments in the front office.
Well, we know if Ted Thompson had been still calling all the shots, it would be a lot more quiet than it was, and we might have still seen some of these other similar departures. So I think, you know, when Gutekunst goes out and lands someone like Jimmy Graham, there's at least something there for Packers fans to kind of have this shiny new toy, even if it's slightly used and, you know, from the thrift shop a little bit. But, you know, Jimmy Graham, he's 31 years old, you know, certainly on the wrong side or I guess the downswing of his career at some degree. But at the same time, he wasn't particularly the best system fit with the Seattle Seahawks. And I mean, when I was looking at this, it blew my mind that he was there for three seasons. It felt like he was traded there like last year or a year and a half ago. But regardless, comes to Green Bay with a new offense that in theory might be a better fit for him. So given his age and his, you know, his development into somewhat of a red zone threat, what are your expectations for what he's going to bring and produce in Green Bay?
I think he's going to be the most, certainly the most productive tight end the Packers have had since they had JerMichael Finley, and could threaten to be the most productive they've had from sheer touchdown numbers. Our buddy Justice Mosqueda did some research on this, and basically his prediction, which I think probably lines up with mine, after, you know, just watching Graham with how Seattle used him and really kind of what type of player he is. He's a red zone dude. I mean, he's 6'7", 6'8". He's a former basketball player, in case you didn't know. His skill set is largely based around his ability to high point and win contested catch situations. And his height from a starting point, but then also just his familiarity with body positioning and using leverage and in boxing out defenders, I think that's something extremely lethal when you combine that with someone like Aaron Rodgers, who seemingly pulls a rabbit out of his hat whenever the Packers go into the red zone and will dance around for 10 seconds before a receiver is finally able to give him the tightest window to throw a ball into. I think it could be a pretty remarkable thing for someone like Rodgers to kind of be, wait, really? All I have to do is just throw it up. This dude's going to go get it. Rather than these trick shots constantly for Rodgers, I think it could be the Packers are one of the best red zone teams in the league anyways. And I think a lot of that has to do with Aaron Rodgers, but they could be lethal in the red zone with someone like Jimmy Graham. However, before you get to the red zone, I'm very interested to see how they use Graham, because as we've mentioned here these last minute or so, is that he's primarily a jump ball guy. While he is big and athletic, he's primarily a red zone target and has never thrived really like between the 20s. And he's extremely valuable once you get to the red zone, but how you get there could be, I think, probably a bit of more of a concern. He's essentially a giant slot receiver, so it'll be interesting to see how he's utilized. But I think certainly he's an upgrade over Martellus Bennett, which I'm not going to get into that nonsense last year. But I think from a sheer a talent and scheme fit standpoint, I think he's a bit of a better fit, a little bit of a less of a square peg in a round hole than Bennett was. And at the very least, Gutekunst didn't come in and say the defense is bad, we're only getting defense. Something that's very much lost in our little draft Twitter world of continuing to make strengths stronger. And I think anything you can do to continue to make Aaron Rodgers more effective is one of the best things you can do.
Well, Gutekunst tried to add that, you know, that shiny top tier piece to the defense. Like you mentioned earlier, they signed Kyle Fuller to an offer sheet. And, you know, the Bears matched it pretty quickly. But, you know, I did think that the Packers did a good job of structuring that deal in a way, sort of knowing that the Bears, or at least assuming that the Bears were probably going to match it. And so they structured it in a way that's pretty salary cap inconvenient for the Bears. I broke down some of the details of that and how the signing bonus and the structure of the base salary is just not friendly for getting rid of him, you know, a couple years before the contract is up. You can go read that over at bearswire.com. When you look at this cornerback position, they miss out on Kyle Fuller, perhaps knowing that might happen, and they have yet to go sign anyone else. They traded Demaryius Randall, like you mentioned, to the Browns, who was one of their – he was a first-round draft pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they trade a former first-round pick at cornerback away to the Browns. You know, there's some Packers connection there that they didn't really want him anymore. They traded him for DeShone Kizer and got a new backup quarterback. But are you surprised they haven't made – some other type of free agent move at cornerback yet? And are you expecting anything else there before the draft?
I expect them to make some type of move. I think it's very much been the trend so far this offseason. Nearly every big name that's been on the market has had some type of rumor or association or rumblings about the Packers. Tyrann Mathieu was on the market for a fairly short amount of time. The Packers were rumored to be in on him. Kyle Fuller, obviously being a target as well. Richard Sherman was also talked about possibly having interest in the Packers or having some mutual affection there. It's extremely valuable that I think every player that the Packers have been associated with would likely have been worthwhile or an upgrade. I think you have to be very careful. A lot of fans are frustrated that there hasn't been a signing or you can't sign someone for the sake of signing someone. And I think that's where Gutekunst has learned from Ted Thompson and obviously being trained under him, that in obviously a big time influence from Scott McLuhan as well, that fit is really important. You always heard McLuhan talk about like football guys, quote unquote, you know, football players, football character, that type of thing. I think Gutekunst weighs that pretty heavily. Jimmy Graham has never had any issues as far as locker room and Muhammad Wilkerson kind of has, but I think that had a lot to do with Mike Pettine, having a past with him. So I think they're going to be picky and choosy, but I think they're going to find the right guy. And it might not be the sexy name, and it might not be a big money contract. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they reached out to Tremont Williams, someone who's been in the organization before, who is pretty old for the cornerback position, but played pretty well last year for the Cardinals, in all actuality, and would be a transitional type player. You're probably only going to get a year or two out of him, but that type of a culture that will put together a team, and they're not going to go out and overspend on someone for the sake of doing so. So I think they will make a move. I would be very surprised if they don't take at least 3 to 4 defensive backs in the draft. They have 11 or 12 picks, but I think Gutekunst is doing a good job, and like I said, it's going to be a value thing and a fit thing. He's not going to go – this isn't Madden. Like, you don't go just sign the top-rated guy.
Unless you're the Bears for some reason this year.
Well
– just a couple times.
Sure. But they make sense, though, and the Bears have room. And that's something, too, where the Packers have a little bit of room to play with. I think they're around $20 million. Pre-Rodgers restructure/extension, they have some room to make a move, but while he may be more aggressive than Thompson was, it's a very Packers thing to do to, like I said, not be impulsive and not make a move for the sake of making a move. I'm concerned at the state of the roster. I'm not concerned with how they're going to go about adding secondary talent. Brian Gutekunst will put together a competitive team, and they're still quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers, and they'll be just fine. I'm not going to hit the panic button because they didn't go sign Mathieu and whoever else.
Well, it's clear that this secondary is quite a bit in flux, but the opposite is true for this defensive line. they got so much more solidified when they added a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson. But given that this defensive line already had Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, who people outside of Green Bay might not realize how good he's been the last couple of years as a young nose tackle slash rotational defensive lineman in there. Given the holes in the secondary, though, and you know, even they, you know, they need some other pass rushing help, and they've got a couple weaknesses on offense. Given all the other needs on this team, how much do you think the addition of Mo Wilkerson is actually going to move the needle, and what type of an impact can he actually have strengthening a strength?
Man, I don't know, because that's kind of the question, right?
That's why I asked.
But I can't imagine there are very many defensive linemen that were signed this offseason that have two 10-plus sack seasons in their career that signed for 1 year, $5 million. I know there's some incentives, and I think it could go up to eight. But Muhammad Wilkerson, his issue has never been talent. Getting him in a, at very worst, more stable, better situation than he was in with the Jets. He's back with his former defensive coordinator where he had the most success, Mike Pettine. From a visual standpoint, I don't know how much different the defense will be. I don't know if Muhammad Wilkerson is a marked, significant game-breaking improvement over Dean Lowry. But for a team that only carried like five defensive linemen on almost every game last year, adding sheer depth is huge. And with the more multiple fronts that Pettine wants to run, I think it's probably a more important way to look at it. It's a much sexier thing if they would have gone out and signed a starting cornerback than a very good defensive lineman, but admittedly a position where they weren't necessarily weak at. But I'm all for it because it's important to strengthen strengths before they are set to become weaknesses, which may seem obvious. And I think that's something where if Wilkerson works out, then hypothetically here, he works out, he has a good season, he works well with Pettine, has seven sacks. I think you probably, he gets extended, he gets re-signed by Green Bay, and then it's not the end of the world that when Mike Daniels is 30 years old in 2019, because you have other talented guys there. I think it's the wrong approach to not add talent because you have talent at positions. In an era where we just saw the Philadelphia Eagles win a Super Bowl on basically by being carried by their defensive line. They don't have world beaters in the linebacking core or outside of Malcolm Jenkins in the secondary. It's all fueled by the rotation on the defensive line. I think this gets lost a lot unless you played offensive line or defensive line or like running back or quarterback, but not many things can dictate what an offense does more than a very talented defensive line. And I think you saw that with the Eagles. And I think that's where, on the surface, Muhammad Wilkerson does not look like a huge signing. And when you take into account the issues with talent in the secondary, I can see why people would be concerned. But someone like Muhammad Wilkerson solidifies that defensive front and I think probably does more good than what meets the eye. And that's something that the casual fan likely won't see or appreciate as much. But I think from a team-building standpoint, I think that's something where you added talent for fairly cheap that's better than what you had at the position to begin with. And if it works out, awesome. And if it doesn't, you paid him $5 million and you get rid of him.
We are talking Green Bay Packers here with Owen Reese. Owen, you know, we've talked a lot about the holes still on this roster. I mean, a right guard, cornerback, maybe another outside linebacker. Receiver, we didn't even touch on with Jordy Nelson gone and unable to land Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson. Even now safety without Morgan Burnett. There's some different areas on this team that need to be addressed either via free agency or coming up in this NFL draft. Where do you see them going in the first round? They're picking in the teens this year for the first time in a while, it feels like. So what type of positions generally or what names do you have circled on your draft board as potential, not only, you know, good players, but players that fit what Green Bay tends to look for in the first round?
Gutekunst has come out and he said that they're basically going to run with the athletic metrics and parameters that they've used for defensive backs with Thompson. So they don't take corners under 5'10 and a half, which I think Denzel Ward was like 5'10 and 5'8 or something. So he just makes it at this point, what we've talked about, I would be floored if the Packers don't take a defensive back in the first round. I don't know how we don't know how the chips are going to fall yet, and with the everyone trading up for quarterbacks, it only helps. And this is I'm going to hedge here pretty hard. I think you're looking at a Denzel Ward or Josh Jackson, or if Derwin James falls, or if Minkah Fitzpatrick were to fall, which I think might end up happening, be a little more likely than we thought. I would be shocked if it wasn't one of those four guys at this point. All four of them fit in the parameters. Fitzpatrick is a little different because I don't know where you play him. I don't know if you take a slot corner in the first round because he hasn't played much outside corner, and he's at his best around the line of scrimmage. I think you're probably looking at a situation where they take the most talented defensive back available. If Denzel Ward's there, I think he's probably the pick. He's probably a better scheme fit than Josh Jackson. So with the Packers, I think it's extremely important that they hit on this pick because they don't pick this high very often, and the opportunity to get a player of this caliber doesn't come around very often in the draft. So they have to hit. And they're probably going to be counted on from day one to be a starter, if not a starter, the first, you know, the nickel or immediately in the rotation. I have a sneaky suspicion that with the quarterbacks all going to go and Derwin James going to blow up his workout and Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson, if Fitzpatrick gets past the Bears at eight, it's type of that situation where I don't think the Bengals are going to take a guy a corner for what, the fifth time in the last 8 years in the first round or something like that. And all of a sudden it gets to a territory where one of these guys like Fitzpatrick, who's been widely regarded as one of the top prospects in the draft since the day after the draft a year ago, if he kind of starts to fall, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up around 14 and ends up being the pick for Green Bay out of the sheer fact he'll be the best defensive back available. I guess if I had to put money on it today, I would say the Packers end up taking Minkah Fitzpatrick at 14, but we've still got a ways to go. But I think that's kind of how I see it trending, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if it ends up kind of happening that way.
So we've danced around it a little bit here, and you kind of mentioned this overarching theme, as it is with every Packers offseason. They still have Aaron Rodgers, and generally speaking, there's a certain baseline of success that comes with having him under center for a full season. So overall, as of March 20th, 2018, when we're recording this, where is your confidence level and I guess expectations for the 2018 Packers? I mean, you know, are you feeling Super Bowl contenders once again with a healthy Rodgers, or more like division title contenders with the Vikings, or maybe more like wild card contenders trying to kind of sneak in that second tier of top NFC teams?
I probably go with like division. People forget the Packers were 4-1 when Rodgers got hurt, and I'm not convinced that last year's roster would be more talented than what will end up being fielded this year. Some of the faces will be different, and some of the long-standing, long-time Packers may be gone. Jordy Nelson won't be there. As long as I got Aaron Rodgers in a one-game situation like that, where if you got to beat the Vikings twice, I think Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy for 16 games, is good for by himself 7 to 8 wins, which would have put last year at probably like 11-5 or so, which would be right around that divisional territory. They might not win. They might end up as a wild card team. But I think with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, you're pretty safely in the top six. Outside of the Rams, Eagles, and Vikings, if I have Aaron Rodgers on my football team, I'm not particularly scared of any other team in the NFC, maybe outside of the Saints. And then at that point, it's up to how good Mike Pettine has been able to make the defense throughout the regular season. And if Aaron Rodgers has to do what he did 2 years ago and go hero ball to try and beat anybody, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I think if the defense is in the top 18 in the NFL, I think they're damn dangerous for anybody in the NFC.
Well, if anyone knows Owen Reese, they know he is damn dangerous, and it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, Owen. Remind the listeners one more time where they can find your work, where they can find your Twitter, and what you have in store for the draft season this year.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at ReeseDraft, R-I-E-S-E, draft. Going to have some, I'm sure, some more draft content up with Acme Packing Company, have some Badger-specific scouting reports and things of that nature with Bucky's Fifth Quarter, and really just kind of throwing out the takes, man. Should be a good time, and it's the best time of the year coming up to the draft. That's what we look forward to all year, so should be good stuff, man.
All right, well, thanks, Owen. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Owen Reese for joining me on today's podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. You can also do us a favor by liking Locked On Bears on Facebook and following the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. Of course, you can also follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. If you haven't listened to yesterday's podcast, we got an update on the Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins now under center up there. Luke Inman from Zone Coverage joined me for a fun conversation there, looking at sort of the championship window that the Vikings have and how they've even found a way to get that much better this offseason. And then tomorrow, we are going to wrap up the week with a Lions update from my friend Jeff Risden. He wears a lot of hats. He is a great NFL mind in general, but he knows the Detroit Lions in and out, and we'll kind of see just how far they stack up with the rest of the division that seems to still be trending in an upward direction. There have been lots of changes this offseason in the NFC North. That's why you got to keep it locked on Locked On Bears and never change the way you bear down.